Hey, this is your Olympic hero, Kurt Angle, and you're listening to Snug Wrestling. Oh, it's true. It's damn true.
All right, y'all. Sorry about the wait. We were having some technical difficulties, but we finally were able to figure it out, and we're going to get this Raw review in here really quick. I guess the system, whatever happened, picked a good day to go crazy on me tonight because I felt like tonight's Monday Night Raw compared to last week's Raw and also last week's SmackDown didn't really give us a whole lot to talk about. Like those other shows, the first shows after Mania, I felt like we had to talk about every single thing. However, this Monday Night Raw was pretty much built around Seth Rollins, Braun Breaker, and Paul Heyman. You know, there's a big question of, oh, who are they going to add? And there's been names that have been thrown around all week about who can join this faction. And I feel like the whole entire show tonight was pretty much built around that. So we're going to get started with that. But before we do, the Snug crew is here with me. What up, Mr. Blood? What up, Toxic? What up, Tommy? What up, BT? How you guys doing?
Doing great. We got liked and by Chris Jericho over on
Instagram. Oh yeah,
that's right. Yeah. We
first Victoria, now good old Chris Jericho. Who's next?
Yeah, Victoria has shown support. Former WWE diva Victoria, former champion, as a friend of the show. We put out a show about our top four Mount Rushmore that we recorded a while ago, but we put it out today, and we talked about Chris Jericho, and he got a wind of our clips and the show, and he ended up liking our stuff. So shout out to Chris Jericho, that was really cool. So check out the full episode on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Leave a star rating, leave a review, and all that good stuff. But yeah, that's pretty cool, you guys. They're showing us some love. We got some love from Victoria and Chris Jericho, so that's all on you guys. You guys have been putting in all the good work, and it's getting noticed, so congratulations, y'all. All right, so let's get into this Monday Night Raw. We're going to get started with the Seth Rollins and Braun Breaker and Paul Heyman. Seth Rollins came out, and he made the announcement that he's the future of the company. It's not Roman. It's not Punk. It's Seth Rollins. And out of all people, Sami Zayn came out to interrupt them and pretty much was telling Seth Rollins, hey, I'm telling you this as a friend. You're a hypocrite. You know, you talk shit about Roman. You talk shit about Punk, but you're doing the same thing. You're pretty much creating your own bloodline. Look at you got Paul Heyman. You got Braun Breaker, your enforcer. You're a hypocrite. Seth Rollins did not like that. And as a friend, gave Sami Zayn an out, an offer, an ultimatum, whatever you want to call it. Seth, as my friend, I don't want to hurt you. Or Seth told Sami. So I'm going to pull some strings, get you over to SmackDown. And nothing bad is going to happen to you, basically. So this whole show was built around that. What is Seth Rollins going to do? Is he going to take up Seth Rollins on his offer, go over to SmackDown? Or is he going to stay on Monday Night Raw?
You mean what is Sami going to do?
Yes, sorry. I keep confusing them. They both start with S's. But yes, so that is the choice that Sami Zayn had to make tonight. It was a tough choice. Later on, we found out to make things more interesting, Paul Heyman is going to throw a championship title match in there versus the winner out of Randy Orton and John Cena. So very, very tempting here. Blood, what did you think at first with this opening segment when you saw Sami Zayn come out and interrupt Seth Rollins? What were your first initial thoughts about this?
I was completely surprised to hear Sami's music, honestly. I want to highlight here something very important. No Roman or Punk on this episode at all. That's what really, really shocked me. We saw it go off of air last week where they were laid out and everything, but there was footage afterwards by fans last week with Punk and Roman staring at each other. Punk sitting up in the ring and Roman laying on the apron, just looking at, and they were staring at each other, almost as if they were understanding each other without saying words. And I, part of me was wondering, oh God, man, what's the follow-up going to be tonight? So I expected Seth to get interrupted in the promo. I expected it. Did not expect to hear Sammy's music. And when he came down, a lot of stuff started going through my head. I was like, I mean, I can understand this. Sammy, obviously, Sammy would have come back and feuded against Kevin probably for taking him out or helping Randy at Mania had that story not gotten interrupted by an injury on from Kevin, unfortunately, for him. So the next thing to do was to pop Sammy back over onto Raw, right? Kind of out of nowhere, which I think is a little weird because I know the draft is coming up, and I'm like, why are we kind of repositioning people before the draft even happens? And it made sense though, because if you remember, Sammy was on Seth's team, if I remember correctly, for War Games 2023 when Punk returned. And so for me, what is it? Am I okay? So for me, I was like, okay, well, there's history there. There's a friendship there. And last year, when Sammy needed someone for War Games, he begged Seth for help, and he got a flat no. So I thought, okay, well, we've got some recent stuff going on, plus the reuniting of the OG bloodline into last year. Heyman and Sammy reinteract with each other during that time frame. So it's like, okay, we've got some stuff interwoven here. Sammy also feuded with Breaker not too long ago, if my memory serves. So it's like, it makes sense that Sammy's here. But why Sammy and not Punk, not Roman? And I liked it, but it took me getting to a point of liking it because I liked that Sammy came at him like a friend, like, this is crap, man. What are you doing? You shit all over Roman and Punk. And why? So you can come out here and do the same thing? You're jealous of them. You only hated on them because you wanted to be in the spot that they were in. And he's not wrong, because it's like, dude, you were upset that they were the guys that had the groups, that had the managers, that had the backing. And you acted like they were selfish for, surrounding themselves with people that could protect them. Well, now look at you. Paul Heyman can pull strings and get you what you want. That's protecting you. You've got the big, young, hungry, upstart here in Braun Breaker who can protect you. And here you are, the mouthpiece, letting them do all the work for you. So tell Sammy when he's telling lies, right? The ultimatum I thought was great. This entire evening was like a carrot and a stick. He dangles, hey, if you go to SmackDown, you are the first person, you are the number one contender for the WWE Undisputed Championship for whomever wins between Punk, or sorry, between John and Randy at Backlash. You will be the next guy up. And Sammy. You saw that look in Sammy's eye last week when Jay was celebrating, and it looked like Sammy was eyeing up that title pretty hard in that celebration. So to see that carrot get dangled back in front of him this week was like, oh, okay. But Sammy's gonna Sammy, and Sammy's gonna rebel. And it winds up in that match between the two of them, which unfortunately ends up with Sammy, the match getting called off, Sammy getting his face stomped in. But I thought this was interesting throughout the night, dangling the carrot and the stick in front of the one guy who definitely feels like he's falling behind his bloodline family members in success in the WWE. And here's this one guy who denied helping him a year or last year, who's now dangling the opportunity of a lifetime for him, going, you won't even have to fight for it, man. A championship opportunity. All you have to do is nothing. Go. And that's it. Just like that. I liked it. I'm curious to see where this goes, because it seems to me like this is going to be a thing where anybody who refuses to get on board is going to get stepped on, period.
Yeah, a lot of things were going through my mind when I saw Sami Zayn come out. The first one was like, we've been wondering who else is going to join. What if Sammy joins? I was like, that was interesting. And then later on, I heard, oh, Paul Heyman's going to pull some strings, get you over to SmackDown. And I'm like, what about the draft? Are they trying to introduce this? Is this how they're going to like slowly make their way into the draft? I don't know, man. So many things happening here. But Toxic, what did you think?
Like Blood said, some shocked that it's Sammy out of all people. I was expecting like a Roman or a Punk or possibly even Jay or someone like that. But Sammy was a complete shocker to me. The offer, I think Sammy should have taken it and went over to SmackDown because after getting his ass whooped in the main event, just it wasn't worth it. He could have went over to SmackDown, faced the winner of Orton and Cena, and then possibly got a championship that way, but no, he wanted to do it the right way. It was just a stupid choice. Obvious decision, and if I were to make that decision, adios, going to SmackDown.
Yeah, everyone was feeling froggy tonight. You know, Sami Zayn had an easy out, go over to SmackDown, get a title shot, or stay on Raw and get your ass speared by Bron Breakker multiple times. And Sami Zayn chose the hard way. Pat McAfee is another one too that was like feeling himself, which we'll talk about here in a little bit. Shout out to Wild Coyote 214. I was at Raw. It was amazing. Nice. I'm glad you enjoyed it. I'm glad you enjoyed it. In person is different. On TV, oh man, this show was kind of like you said, Blood. It was missing a lot of the stars. It just, I don't know. It was a big miss for me to the Monday Night Raw for tonight. Shout out to Spencer. Thank you for the follow. But Tommy, let's hear your thoughts on this opening segment with Sami Zayn. What did you think about this?
Honestly, it was a good start for what ended up being a very mediocre Raw at best. It overall was not a very good Raw compared to last week. Plain and simple. I do love the fact that mid-show, Paul used that fact that Sammy has never held a world title whatsoever, either WWE title or the world heavyweight title itself. He has yet to hold either of them. And he dangled that in front of his face like he's over here in Minecraft putting a carrot in front of a pig to make it run faster. Yes, Toxic, I did in fact just make that reference for you. So, it was good. Fantastic start. It overall, the payoff was dangerous, especially mid-match, him going, screw you, or something like that, or like go to hell. The way he said that, like Sammy said it himself at the end of the show, when he said, Seth, have you ever heard of me running away? It's just not gonna happen. So, of course, instead of just taking that buyout and immediately getting a title shot against whoever wins, which is probably gonna end up being Cena now that I think about it and fully think about it. It just, I'm honestly against Toxic on this. I think he chose the right thing here. Yes, he's going to get pound into the ground. Pause. Yes, I know. Resume. But still, yes, he is going to get absolutely wrecked into that mat. He absolutely will. There is no doubt about it. He's going up against the fastest damn Steiner. But at this point, like he said, he's never backed down. And at this point, There is no reason to now.
Yeah, Sami Zayn was pretty much like the example, I think. Now we know like what Seth Rollins is going to be doing. So this was them pretty much sending out a message to anyone else that is going to step up against them. But go ahead, Blood, really quick before we go on to BT.
I just realized what I think they're doing here, guys. They're going to flip Sammy. They're going to flip him. The way he looked at Jay last week, refusing to back down and realizing he's outclassed, outmatched, and outgunned. Having Heyman dangle the carrot in front of him. Him always making the right choice, and it's screwing him in the end because he always does the right thing and never gets anything out of doing the right thing. They're going to turn Sammy fucking heel, and he's going to turn on Jay for that World Heavyweight Championship. I just realized that.
Yeah, I can see that. I can see that. But for me personally, I there's so many other names I would much rather see get, you know, partnered up with that team.
I'm not saying he's going to win it, but I'm saying it's going to turn Sammy heel in the process of realizing that no matter what he does, he never seems to get it. Even when he does the right thing, he doesn't have to join their faction, but that stomp is going to be a wake-up call. And I think he's going to turn on Jay. And I think Jay's first serious feud after fucking Logan Paul, I think it's going to be Sammy as a heel. Best friend turns on best friend.
Yeah, could be. BT, let's hear from you.
I don't have a lot of words and opinions, honestly. I really loved it. I really did.
All right. Well, yeah, other than that, the only other thing I can say is, like, everything else on the show was pretty much, I don't know, man. It was a big miss for me besides this thing that's happening with Seth Rollins and Sami Zayn. I mean, the other thing that I really want to talk about is, you know, Jey Uso looks like he got his first opponent, probably going to be at Backlash. Logan Paul came out to brag about his win at WrestleMania versus AJ Styles, and then proceeded to call out Jey Uso. And I'm thinking, holy shit, Jey Uso actually responded, came out, cut a nice little promo on Logan Paul, then gave Logan Paul a nice super kick straight to the chest or the chin. I couldn't really tell, but yeah, how do you guys feel about seeing Logan Paul versus Jey Uso? Toxic, looks good with you.
I'm glad they're finally picking back up on this feud that it started on the road to last year's Backlash, because it was the Raw where JD McDonagh got the Super Bowl rings right to the skull. So I'm glad they're finally picking back up on this feud, and just Logan Paul did not need to touch another title in WWE. Agree or disagree?
No, you. So I just remembered something, you guys. Let's go back a little bit. I want to go back to what we were talking about, the Seth Rollins and Sami Zayn thing, because it kind of ties into what Blood was saying with his prediction about maybe it's Sami Zayn. Eventually, he's going to turn heel and turn on Jey Uso, and this is going to be the beginning of all of that. But I mean, there's still a big possibility of someone else joining this Paul Heyman thing. And I want to throw around a couple more names that we haven't really talked about. So we've mentioned, you know, it could be, who did we mention that that could join Seth Rollins? I know
Nia Jax.
We said Austin Theory.
It looks like Otis, potentially, from what we saw tonight, might be a possibility.
Oh, good God, no.
Might end the Alpha Academy and turn him serious. I got a name for you that no one even said yet. How about a returning Bronson Reed?
Yes, that's one of the names I was going to mention right now. I
mean, we also brought up Becky as well as a possibility. Yeah,
at this point, we're just naming anyone, but
no, but these are all people that make sense. Austin looks like he's going to turn on Grayson here shortly. Bronson would return as a heavy. He was already on Raw, but he never finished his full feud with Seth before the Bloodline shit started. Then you have Becky, who just turned heel, who's also his woman, the leader of the new this new order's woman. These all these names make it. Nia is directionless right now since she returns, and if they drafted a Raw, I mean, if you're trying to be, you know, the people who run the entire shot of WWE from top to bottom, division to division, you want at least one or two heavies in there, and one of them should be a woman, and the other one should be a mastermind woman who's the queen next to fucking Seth's king.
One of us,
dynasty, it makes sense.
One of us also mentioned Ilya Dragunov, if I'm not mistaken.
Ilya, I said Ilya, but I said Ilya would possibly come back to stop Gunther.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, one of the ones that was brought up in the chat while we were when you were doing the stream for Raw itself. Mm-hmm. I honestly like the thought of Ludwig Kaiser.
Yeah,
I love it.
Ludwig Kaiser is another name that got thrown in there, and I have two more names. I have three, but Blood mentioned Bronson Reed already. That's another one that I think would be really good.
I would love that.
Damian Priest is another name that got thrown around. How would you guys feel about Damian Priest?
They just moved him to SmackDown, though. It'd be kind of
weird that's
to
true.
Back to Raw.
But he's been on SmackDown a few weeks.
How are they going to turn him back heel?
Yeah, and yeah, he's over now as all that work they did on him last year to turn him face. I don't want to undo that in just a year already.
Yeah, you're right. And it looks like we're still going to see more of Damian versus Drew McIntyre, too, which I'm down for.
Yeah. Plus, I would love to see Damian in Survivor Series later this year, because I got a feeling whatever Seth's building, it's leading to Survivor Series. So they're going to have to build a team to oppose whatever order he and whatever horrible fucking, you know, dynasty he's going to try to create, whatever faction. That's going to end up in War Games, and we're going to need a good amount of baby faces on the other side to try to stop him. And I think Damian's probably going to wind up being on that team.
So I know people are calling the new group the Evolution 2.0. Honestly, the more I think about it, the more I feel like they're more Nexus.
Yeah, I don't know how I feel about them wanting to bring back the, you know, all these old factions. Like
I wanted to be something completely new.
They already did that with the LWO. They brought it back, and it's just like, okay.
I want whatever this is, it needs to stand on its own, be its own thing. Like, it doesn't need to be the authority. It doesn't need to be this or that. It needs to be a new thing that is about the future. And you can't have the future if you're bringing up the past.
Yeah, that's so very true.
I need this to be completely new and unique. Whenever they fall on a name, it's got to be different, resonant, and it needs to make sense.
The last name.
So I know that you did say that about like two big men and all of that being in the group, but there is one person that came to mind just now. And I know he just returned, so it kind of makes no sense to yet.
Not Rusev.
Those two do best.
They do, but Rusev needs to reestablish himself, in my opinion, before he does anything else.
Yeah, maybe like later on, but honestly, I think he would be a good fit.
We'll get to Rusev. We'll get to Rusev here in a little bit. But the last name that I want to bring up in this whole conversation is they just announced that they signed him recently, Jeff Cobb. What if Jeff Cobb shows up and joins Seth Rollins on Monday Night Raw with Bron Breakker and Paul Heyman as the muscle, another muscle? Bron Breakker is, you know, the muscle, but how would you guys feel about seeing Jeff Cobb come into WWE and automatically get put in that position with Seth Rollins?
I'm pretty sure 3 out of 5 of us don't know who the hell that is.
That's another thing. Whoever joins this group, I feel like they need to have some kind of recognition or notoriety to them already, so the audience can already be invested in them from the start, which is why Austin Theory is such a great choice. Bronson Reed is such a great choice. Nia Jax, Becky Lynch. I think it'd be fucking dope as shit Ludwig Kaiser, but I mean, I need to see him on a singles run longer before throwing him back into another group.
Which is what I was saying about Austin Theory, like that for Austin that reason needs that wouldn't make
needs the direction. He needs the direction though.
For that reason, I don't think it would make sense for Austin Theory to be put in this group.
For Austin, in one particular way, where I definitely agree with you, the moment that he breaks up from Grayson, it's because it'll be to start his babyface run. That's 100%. I think he's turning babyface on Grayson. They really keep hitting at it. This breakup's been fucking happening for 10 months now. But it can't be Austin. I think Austin turns into a babyface. It'd be cool if they built Austin up in the next many months to where the crowd really gets behind him. And he could be one of the people who's facing off in War Games on the good guy, on the babyface side. But I think that they're turning him babyface here soon. But I definitely think that whomever, because even I'm not fully familiar with who Jeff Cobb is. But if it's going to be people that join, I think the audience already needs to have some kind of investment in them. So when the surprise reveal of them joining happens, there needs to be a massive pop for it, a massive what the fuck? Oh my God, I can't believe it. You know. So I think it's got to be something shocking. Like no one would assume Bronson Reed's returning out of nowhere, right? And then just teams up with the guy he feuded with through most of the beginning of last year and was trying to break his ribs every which way and right, you know? Like, even putting Braun Strowman in there would be a fucking shock.
Jesus, you know, but Christ. It's, God, but it's no. Got,
I mean, no. I don't think Strowman. Strowman, I think...
No, not, no, I'm saying, but I'm saying as a generalization, not as an option. Whomever right. It is, the teams need to be thought out. It needs to be about building the future of the company. And the future means the younger, newer, hungrier talent. So, you know, I mean, maybe some NXT guy gets called up, for example. You know what I'm saying? Things like that.
All right, let's get back on track here. Let's get back on track here. All right, I just wanted to throw those names out there and see if, like, any of those names really made sense. But Toxic already kind of got it started with the Logan Paul and Jey Uso segment. Tommy, it's on you this time. What were your thoughts about Logan Paul calling out Jey Uso? And it looks like we're about to get a feud between Jey Uso and Logan Paul.
Again, like Toxic said, it does go way back to even last year when it comes to the whole, I've been yeeting since 2017. Like him saying that, and that was last year. It had like no payoff. And then all of a sudden, they're picking it up again this year. It honestly fits. But as Toxic said, and I completely agree with him, keep the titles away from Logan, especially the world title specifically. Keep that thing away from Logan. He literally did nothing with the United States title. He had, like, what? Three defenses? That's it? If that? Yeah, two. Two defenses. Other than that, he just sat over at his place with the thing. That's it. There's no possible way that he's taking it off of Jay. He's just not. But overall, the world title just needs to stay the hell away from Logan. Plain and simple.
I love the hate. I love the hypocrisy. All these people are like, oh, no, we don't want to see Logan Paul get a title shot. When just a few weeks ago, people were over there, oh, Logan Paul is such a great wrestler. He's such a great athlete. He's a future champion. Well, there you go, people.
Here's my response to Logan. And it has been a chance that's been going around with WWE with him for a bit. Fuck you, Logan.
Yeah, all of a sudden, everyone hates Logan. What up, Finchmaster Flex? Shout out to the homie Finchmaster. He's a good friend of the show. BT, your turn, dude. You got any thoughts on this?
As much as people on the panel want to say that Logan Paul doesn't need a belt, he's going to be world champion at some point. But he's not beating Jey Uso for the title. I can definitely assure you that. But he's going to be world champion at some point because WWE relies on marketability. That's their number one thing that they've always relied on. When it comes to Logan Paul and Prime, it is the number one sponsor when it comes to WWE. They showcase it in the ring millions of fucking times. They legit have bottles of Prime that the wrestlers crash into every single fucking week. So Logan is bound to become a world champion at some point. I just wish that he would spend more time in fucking feuds than he spends time with his girlfriend or fiance or fucking whatever she is and his fucking podcast.
Yeah, absolutely.
Look, how I feel about this. Logan, I don't think Logan has to prove to anybody anymore that he is fantastic between the ropes. Hell, he proves better and better every time he comes back that he's really putting it down on the mic too. But at the end of the day, I don't want him winning a title. I don't have a problem with him being near the title scene because it brings notoriety, which is great. The social media clicks, sponsors, all that good stuff. However, that being said, that championship is the workhorse title and it needs to be seen every single week. And that won't happen because even though he's touted that he's on a full-time contract now, he still don't feel full-time. You know what I'm saying? Full-time to me is you're wrestling every week to every other week on the main shows. I don't care if he's how big a name he is. Logan Paul has not, just because he's a big social media star, he has not earned the right to be a special attraction like a Brock Lesnar, like an Undertaker, right? Like a John Cena, you know, like a CM Punk and a Seth. Those are special attraction wrestlers that only need to wrestle when they need to. I need to see Logan put more reps in the ring. And that being said, how the fuck does he get to jump the line? What has he done to earn the right to be the number one contender? You know what I'm saying? Like, you beat AJ. Fantastic. Didn't he lose his feud right before that? Okay, like, I mean, think of all the people he's, like, his last match was with AJ Styles, right? Then he was in, I think it was the Royal Rumble before that. Okay? Or no, Elimination Chamber. Was it Chamber? Then he was in the Royal Rumble, and then I think he was on the Netflix Raw debut. So in my, he didn't wrestle on the debut. So in my head, he's had like what, 3 to 4 televised matches this year, maybe. I think it's been 3, and it's already almost May. So what have you done in 5 months that justifies you being the number one contender? You lost the Rumble. You lost the Chamber. Sure, you beat AJ at Mania. But you're already 2-1, or you're already fucking 1-2 this year. So, or sorry, 2-1, or yeah. So like you've, I'm just like, it doesn't justify him being the first contender.
Yeah.
Now, if this is inoffensive to me because it's just going to be on a Saturday night main event, or not Saturday night, Backlash, fine. But I mean, he's not going to win. There's no way you take it off of Jay immediately. And if you do, Triple H, it's going to be a horrible booking decision to take that off him immediately in two and a half, 3 weeks because people are going to be pissed. And, you know, but you want to know what I'm really worried about? You know what I think Logan's big moment this year is going to be? I think he wins the Money in the Bank. I think he's winning Money in the Bank this year. That's what I'm worried about. And then we got to listen to him with that briefcase for God knows how long. And be afraid of that cash-in because we all know everybody like was worried like what kind of champion Damian Priest was going to be. Remember, I am not looking forward to seeing what kind of champion Logan would be if he's not showing up on a week-to-week basis to put that title over, have great engaging feuds. Like at least Jay has a fucking treasure trove of potentially great story-driven feuds, right? Him and Roman, him and Sammy, him and Seth, him and Punk, you know, even a rematch with Gunther. Like, there are him and Jimmy. There are so many great, and after the draft, potentially Solo. Like, there are great fucking, you know, lengths of feuds you can tell great stories with on Jay's behalf. You can't tell me there's one interesting story that you can tell with Logan Paul as the champion that people are going to give a shit about. outside of his fans and his marketability. So I'm fine with the match. I'm sure it's going to be fun, athletic, but I don't need to see this again after this. That's all I'm saying.
All right, let's go over to the women's division now, because I want to talk about the Becky Lynch promo. Apparently, Becky Lynch announced that she was the one that took out Bayley and took her place at WrestleMania, and I'm thinking, when? How? Why did this even... I mean, from what I know, this was never announced. This was never a thing. It's just something that just was announced today, and it's like, okay. And Lyra Valkyrie came out, and Becky and Lyra continued to have what I thought, to me, sounded like a school play, the way that they were reciting their lines to each other. It just seemed very... My daughter has, you know, school plays, and when they say their rehearsed lines to each other, that's the feeling that I got. Watching this segment with Becky Lynch and Lyra Valkyrie, I'm just like, I'm so just not interested whatsoever in anything Becky Lynch is doing right now. And I have no idea what's even going on in the women's division overall. I mean, besides this thing with Becky Lynch and Lyra Valkyrie, we saw Rhea versus Roxanne. Are they on NXT? Julia also came out. Are they in NXT or are they on Raw? Like, a lot of people seem to believe that they're on the main roster now. Some people say that it hasn't been announced yet. Like,
it's a light call up.
The other match that we had was another NXT girl, the NXT champion, Stephanie Vacker versus Ivy Nile. It's just, I mean, I get, like, this is a fresh start to road to WrestleMania 42. A lot of call-ups, a lot of new things happening, but, like, they haven't announced anything. Like, they haven't announced the draw, and people are just showing up. Mr. Blood called it a light call-up. Some people say that they're already on the main roster. Like, what is happening here? I don't know. But overall, the Becky Lynch and Lyra Valkyrie was announced for Backlash, and are you guys even one bit interested in this whatsoever? BT, I believe it's your turn first.
No, it's me.
Yes, go ahead. Sorry.
So, here's my thing. This is probably going to be one of the most predictable matches of the night. For sure. One of. We'll get to Pat McAfee later. That one's probably going to be the most predictable. But here's the thing with this one. We have called it since she practically got it. They're setting her up to be a discount Becky Lynch, only for Becky to be the one to take it off of her.
I called it.
And let's be honest. Yeah, yes, Blood. Fuck you. But, yeah. It's very clear that as much as I love Lyra, I'm sorry, but you're losing the Intercontinental Championship next Saturday at Backlash. You just are. There's no possible way that you are retaining this. I would be shocked if you are.
I'm kind of interested in this feud. I like it. Even though we know how the match is going to end, I kind of want Lyra to beat Becky, but it's kind of inevitable that Becky Hogan will fucking take the title. So, yeah, I didn't see it as like a rehearsed play or anything like that. I thought there was real emotion when it came to... Becky, especially when she was talking about Bayley and the rivalry that they've been through over the past couple of years. I really felt the emotion in that promo. But I couldn't tell if the fans were cheering or booing her. So that was the problem that I specifically had. But overall, I really enjoyed it. As much of a cringe fest as you want to say it is, I personally enjoyed it. I thought it was decent.
Yeah. Becky Lynch, when her music first hit, she got little to no reaction. And Michael Cole tried to defend it like, the reaction is obvious after what she did last week. And it's like, no, Michael Cole, the reaction is because she's just not that interesting anymore. Becky Lynch is just, I don't know, man. She's just not good.
I do love the fact that Lyra brought up NXT and the fact that the last time they went head to head, Lyra won to take the NXT title off of her.
Yeah, so we're going to see that again. And I hope Lyra beats Becky. I mean, this whole thing, I mean, that's the only thing that would make this even a little bit good for me. Because, Lyra's the next up-and-coming young star. She needs this way more than Becky. What else was I going to... I think that's it. Bled, I believe it's on you. Go ahead.
So for this, I didn't think it was cringe. I just thought that there's not a lot of fanfare here because Lyra doesn't really have any fanfare. That being said, I think she came across in the microphone a lot better than I thought she would. I was really worried when she came out there to open her mouth and cut her promo. I was like, is this going to sound like really stilted? And I think she did a serviceable job. I've heard worse on the mic cutting promos. That's for sure. But, Ivy Nile is horrible on the mic. So, like, to me, when I think of, like, Lyra, I'm like, okay, she's not that level of bad. But I understood, like, their story here. I thought, I like that line that Lyra said. I'm no longer interested in being... the next Becky Lynch.
Good.
That would be terrible. Even though that, I initially said I, not we, Tommy, there's no we here. I said that they were putting that fucking title on her just so that they could give Becky someone to destroy and take it off of when she came back. I think Becky is winning here because Becky's already a heel, right? What they're going to do is, because he's already a heel, like I said last week, what are you going to do? Boo her? Call her Becky Hogan? She's a heel. We want you to boo her. That's right. So we're being gaslit into hating her more so her heel turn works this time around. So because the last time she got turned heel, the fans refused to boo her because they love her too much. So, but now we've gotten to that point where the Becky Hogan thing's really started to take over a bit more. And if they have her take it off of Lyra, Becky Hogan's going to be the entire point. She comes back. She takes the title off of young talent. She hoards it for herself. But this time, she's a heel. So you have to boo her. We want you to boo her. And that's the point. So we're being gaslit into making sure her heel turn works. I thought Becky was really good on the mic tonight, even though I thought she was a little fucking... I thought she was kind of a little scrappy doing it out there. Oh, I don't really know. You don't know me. I told you. What I said, oh, I'm going to be the best. Oh, and I was like, bitch, take a breath. Like, breathe. Slow down. Enunciate. You already got the thick-ass accent. Enunciate. But I did like that they let Lyra get some shots in. So Becky got a little bit of comeuppance early, kind of show, and Becky's back to being a pussy, like a cowardly heel. So I was like, okay, good, run. But then the moment they lingered on Lyra too long, I was like, they're going to have her blindside her. And then 3, 2, 1, blindsides her. And I thought the blindsiding Lyra was the bad move. Because you want to show that Lyra's strong, right? That she's a champion. If you're going to take the title off, you want to at least have her go in strong. Not look like a chump taking her eyes off her enemy who's already tried to sneak attack her. So having Becky stand tall, I thought, kind of made Lyra look like the weakling, look like the idiot. And I was like, come on, man. The point is she just verbally won and then physically got comeuppance on Becky. Why are you automatically having the segment end with her on her ass? What are we doing? So I'm fine with it, but to be honest, I think the real problem we all have here is that this feud should have happened like 9 months ago. So the fact that we're getting it now, we don't care. Because people cared about Lyra more about 9 to 10 months ago, before Becky left, almost a year ago. If we had had this right after or like right during Becky trying to put over a bunch of talent before she left, if we had gotten that feud then and had Becky leave as a heel then, I think this would have done, I think it would have actually helped Lyra in Becky's absence if she had beaten and conquered the monster heel in Becky a year ago before Becky left. Then Becky can return as the hero and as a baby face. I think they mixed up the better formula to this story. And I think that's what we're all feeling here. Aside from BT, who likes it the most, but still.
I don't give a shit about this because Becky's just horrible. But I gotta give Tommy some credit. I can't let you do my boy Tommy like that because I specifically remember before the tournament even started, he was pulling for Lyra
I called
Valkyrie
that shit
all the
from the
way.
beginning.
All the way.
You were pulling for Lyra. I said that if they have her, because I wanted Dakota, and I said
Ah, see, there you
hold on,
go.
but I
You
literally
wanted
said,
Dakota.
but I said if Lyra wins, the only reason she won is so she can feud with Becky over that belt, is
And I
exactly
said
what I
we
said.
because, yes, you said that, but we all agreed with you.
But I still said
The point still stands.
Anyway, so that's what's happening in the women's division. I want to talk about Rusev next really quick. The video package by Rusev was really interesting. We didn't get to see Rusev on Monday Night Raw, but the video package it has a lot to talk about, a lot to break down here in that short video package. Rusev said a whole lot, and I'm actually going to replay the promo here really quick. It's a quick, like, 2 minute promo, so I hope you guys can hear it.
Once upon a time, I had it all. The gold, the fame, the tank of WrestleMania. And then I lost myself. I left the WWE, and on my way home to Bulgaria, I fell into the abyss. In that abyss is where I found myself, healed myself, redeemed myself, and fixed myself. In that hell, I realized I will no longer fight for a woman that isn't mine, or a flag that never was. And an epiphany, I was finally free to crush people, not because I was told to, but because I wanted to. So now I will use my hands and Jack body for good. I will hunt the flawed, the arrogant, those who waste their talents like I did. And through pain, I will perfect them all for good. So my brothers, your lack of suffering ends now. I am the tempest rolling in. I will hunt you, forgive you, and fix you. Like I fixed myself. But choose your next steps wisely. Because for a righteous man, saving you will be no hardship. Ending you will be no loss.
Pretty interesting stuff, everyone. The reason I wanted to replay that is because it kind of gives us a better idea of what to expect from Rusev. So he said he left the WWE and he got lost. He fell into the abyss. And I thought that was funny. I was like, is he referring to AEW? I don't know, but that's how I took it. He also said he was able to redeem himself, which is kind of in AEW, he was doing this gimmick where he called himself the Redeemer. So it looks like they're going to continue to do part of that gimmick in the WWE, if I'm not mistaken. The other interesting thing said that he fixed himself. He's no longer gonna fight for a woman that's not his or a flag that's not his. So he's no longer the Bulgarian brute like we all expected, which also made me wonder, are they going to continue where they left off with that horrible storyline with Bobby Lashley? Is that the last thing that they're going to mention about Lana? You know, him saying, you know, I'm not going to fight for a woman that's not mine. I wonder if that has anything to do with that storyline with Bobby Lashley back then. But yeah, he's going to use his power and his strength for good, and he's going to fix his brothers, I guess the people, his opponents in the WWE. But I thought this was really, really interesting. Who's up first? I want to get your thoughts on this promo.
Yeah, it's me. Because Tommy went first last time. I see the good and I see the bad. Let me explain. The good thing is he isn't the Bulgarian brute. It's not Rusev Day. It's something new. The bad is that we've had too many of these cryptic fucking I'll show you the way type of gimmicks. Karrion Kross, Wyatt Six, and now it looks like it's fucking Rusev. There's just too many of those kinds of gimmicks that are going around, and they're never fucking booked properly. So I am praying with all of my might, Triple H, you better fucking do something with Rusev, because if you bring him back to do worse than what AEW did, I don't think I'll ever forgive you. That'll be one of the biggest L's that you have taken. But I'm a man of hope. I hope that this story and this gimmick will get over. I just hope that Triple H does something, because Karrion Kross is one of the biggest examples of this cryptic fucking I will show you the way type of gimmick. The Wyatt Six is sort of the same thing. Like, we had brothers that were broken and we mended them, and we can do the same with you. Rusev is kind of doing the same thing, but just himself. So you better fucking book him right.
Yeah, fair point.
How you guys thought the, or not all of you guys, but like Snug, you thought like the women's segment between Becky and Lyra was cringe.
Mm-hmm.
Hearing that promo again, even when I went to go check on something in my kitchen, I could hear it from here. I thought it would sound less cringe when I couldn't see him actually face reacting while speaking in that vignette, that video package. Because
mm-hmm.
I found the video package incredibly awkward. I don't know if I'm the only one. I legit, like, while watching it, I thought it was cringe. They chose some really choice camera angles to frame him. A lot of awkward zoom-ins and slide across and lingering on his face too long. A lot of like, and I was like, okay, cut to the next clip, you know, like, and they kept just like doing this and the this, and then it's like a, I will. And I'm just like, bro, it's a little too much. You mm-hmm. could have just had him cut a backstage promo or say it straight without cutting the camera at all. It didn't need to be a cryptic thing. I'm with BT where we have too many cryptic gimmicks. And I mean, speaking of cryptic gimmicks that just go on too long and we don't know what the fuck they're going to do. We just had Aleister Black show back up. We have no idea what that's going to be, but his entire character is cryptic. So it's like, I'm not sure if it's the script that I didn't like that they wrote for him to say. Because in AE, and though BT, I don't think Triple H is capable of fumbling Rusev the way AEW did, because they left him off TV for a year under contract. And he was very big in AEW in the beginning. He blew up as the best friend gimmick and then the gamer gimmick. He was extremely popular. But it's because he got tired of the direction and spoke out online and then refused to do the job a couple times, and they left him off TV. Him and Aleister Black both had that problem where, you know, AEW saying a lot of WWE guys were kind of saying they're not putting guys over, they're not losing because they're too big of names. They refuse to. That was what was being said. So it's just one of those things where, like, he's back. I'm glad it's a new thing. Part of me wishes it was the Rusev Day, because I feel like WWE would have been able to capitalize on that in a way that Vince was too stupid to capitalize on it. I mean, you want to talk about merch sales. Come on. You know, so, like, I'm excited for this. Just this wasn't it. I'd have much rather, like, he just debuted last week. I would have much rather had him come out, get in the ring, say what he was like. My mission statement is this. I'm going to basically fix all of you broken brothers of mine, all you guys who have let these people walk all over you and destroy your characters, where you feel like you've got to laugh and shuck and jive and dance to get these people to love you, and you've lost yourselves. And I'm going to break you until you see that you need to be reborn. The right, like, just come out there and tell us your mission statement. I don't need a video package. And then call someone out to the ring who you think fits that mold criteria, and then stomp them into the mat. And then maybe this gimmick has the ability to be the gimmick that repackages all the bad gimmicks. So, like, you know, and I'm not saying Otis's gimmick is bad, because I love Alpha Academy, but, like, let's say you wanted to repackage Otis in a better way. Have him go out there, get crushed by Rusev, and then show back up weeks later, repackaged, better. Crush Akira Tozawa. Have him come back, repackaged, more serious, better. Get rid of that goofy shit that ain't working. The problem I have with WWE is we have too many great wrestlers being booked to be jobbers. Okay? Case in point, I'm him. No, you ain't, because you can't win a match, Carmelo. But he's one of the greatest wrestlers of his generation, and you wouldn't know it.
So, as I think, as already said to him before, you say you don't miss? You could build a damn house with all those bricks you're throwing.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Like, I think this gimmick has the potential to be great if they use it as a way to repackage the guys who desperately need to go away for a little while, come back fresh and missed, and then let's go from there. If he wants to be that, what did you say his gimmick was, basically Snug, like reborn or rebirth or something?
He calls himself the Redeemer.
The Redeemer. So if he's going to be redeeming people with his gimmick, I want to see the actual payoff of that redemption. You know what I'm saying? Beat these guys to where they got to go away and they come back redeemed, different, better, more serious. Let's do it. But this wasn't the way to start, in my opinion.
I thought this was a great fucking video package. It left me wanting to see more of him. I'm more interested in what he's going to do next. And I thought the material was pretty damn good. I mean, I would much rather see a Rusev video package than see Becky Lynch on my fucking TV screen, but that's just me. Toxic, let's go with you.
Careful there, Snug. You're stepping into BT and Liv Morgan territory.
No, I mean, I'm not going to, like, call her out of her name. I'm just talking about, like, her work, and I'm judging her as a fan, you know, like, I'm not attacking her personally. I just don't fucking like her, period.
Fair enough.
Okay. I think I'm the only one here, but I'm not really that interested in Rusev. Not interested in him whatsoever. I don't like anything that he's possibly gonna bring. I'm not interested to see. I'm just not interested. I think his character was boring, and it probably will still be boring. The video package was cringe as fuck. I'm just not interested.
So, I do love, if those are what we think they are, I do love the digs at AEW. That was fun.
Sounded like it, yeah.
It sounded like it. And then the call back to Lana, like, he's chucking all of these insults that are so cryptic that we know what they are, but at the same time, we don't know what they are. If that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
And I get it. We have a whole lot of cryptic stuff that overall haven't really been used properly at all for one reason or another, such as the Wyatt Six can't really do anything without Bo Dallas until he's back in.
There's an update on that reported today. His injury, he is clear, and they've reported Alexa Bliss will be joining the Wyatt Six as its leader. That report came in today.
Huh. All right. So another one.
It was a few days ago, but yeah.
Karrion Kross. We've seen him, once when it comes to actual matches in the past, 2 years? That it has been a bit since the last time we have fully seen him in the ring doing what he does best here. Next week, we're getting what we honestly, in my opinion, should have gotten this week, which is him going up against Otis. And I am with Blood here. I think this should essentially be a squash. I honestly think that Otis, as much as we love this goofy-ass character of his, him with his caterpillar and all of that, I think that he needs to be squashed and come back more serious. As much as I love the goofy gimmick with him, at this point, it needs to quit. I love Otis, but he needs to be a little bit more serious here. Same with Tozawa.
Well, I did want to talk about Pat McAfee, but we're actually out of time. So we'll see what Friday Night SmackDown has in store for us, because hopefully it's better than Monday Night Raw. I hate to say it, man, but this Monday Night Raw kind of sucked. I'm not going to lie. You're not wrong.
It felt like there wasn't a lot of matches, right? That's what it really was. I mean, felt like we had more segments than
we had a total of one, two,
like three.
Three, four matches with the main event, Sami Zayn versus Braun Breaker.
And we had two women's matches, right?
Yeah.
Like, and don't get me wrong, the in-ring work tonight, the matches were great. Even the New Day War Raiders match was actually decent. But I'm with you, dude. There was something about this Raw that it felt like it went by like that, but it felt like there was also nothing on it.
Yeah.
The great match quality was awesome, but worse for me because I don't get commercials and neither does BT. So I got to sit there and watch all of the other smaller segments that you guys don't see, like Grayson Waller and freaking Austin Theory having to do a full 2.5, 3-minute promo with Jackie Redmond in the crowd while it's waiting to cut back from commercial with a 3-minute countdown. And it was a whole lot of nothing other than setting up Austin Theory turning on Grayson Waller at some point because Grayson got himself a match opportunity and didn't left Austin Theory out of it. And it's like,
well, they're shaping up for Backlash. I'm hoping next week.
Little thing on the whole Pat McAfee thing. I'm pretty sure I speak for all of us here when I say that none of us expected this match to actually be announced.
I did.
It made
20th sense. What kind of long? That was a long-ass angle they did last week. And you guys get cut to commercial. BT and I don't. So we had to endure another 4.5 minutes of them trying to just walk him up the ramp and stop him every 20 seconds. And before it came out, we dealt with this segment for almost 12 to 13 minutes straight.
Yeah.
I knew this shit had to be a match.
Bro, not only that, when he was coughing.
Hey, yo, what's up, motherfucker? Hearing people in the back.
I had a feeling it was eventually going to happen, but I thought it was going to be like an exhibition thing for Saturday Night's Main Event or something like that. I was not expecting bad blood that fucking quickly.
Nah, they're trying to fill up that match card for Backlash.
You mean Backlash?
Because they scheduled it. Because they scheduled it way too close to after Mania. Like, this is the problem. They set Mania way too fucking far out from the chamber. But now they're setting Backlash way too fucking far, or sorry, way too quick in advance to Mania.
We got less than 2 weeks, so we have basically three more shows before Backlash. And hopefully, because it's leading up to Backlash, maybe next week's Monday Night Raw is going to be a little bit better, but we'll see. Until then, let's hope for a better SmackDown. And we'll see you guys on Friday for SmackDown, the SmackDown review. Hopefully we don't have any of the same fucking technical issues we did today. Elsewise, I wouldn't have, made this review so short. But there wasn't that whole lot to go over on this episode of Monday Night Raw.
Without us talking, why don't you just tell us what your thoughts on it are?
On what?
On Gunther and McAfee. We don't even need our turn. What do you think about the segment?
Just really quick, Pat McAfee cut a great promo. It took him a minute to get over, to get to the point. But eventually, once he did, he said, Michael Cole is his homie. He's his ride or die. Pat McAfee being the loyal friend that he is, he has to step in. And he feels like he has to step up to Gunther. And that's why we're getting the match. I thought it was dope. I thought it was great. But Pat McAfee bit off a little bit more than he can chew, I think. But it's going to be interesting to see how this goes down at Backlash, which this isn't the last time we'll talk about Pat McAfee and Gunther.
Pat, I hope you like getting squashed, because that's probably what's going to happen.
Yeah, Pat's last name ain't going to be McAfee. It's going to be Big Mac, because his chest is going to be hamburger meat when Gunther gets his hands on him.
For sure, guys. All right, well, with that being said, you guys, my name is Edgar. I'm the host of Snug Wrestling. Everyone, thank you guys for listening and hanging out. Thank you, Snug Crew. You guys have a good night, and we'll see you guys on Friday. No yeet. Bye.
Yeet.
Yeet.